Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you're having a great Friday morning. The old expression TGIF, thank God it's Friday. We thank God for every day because this is the day which the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it because God is on his throne and we know him and we have access to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We can crawl up into his lap, as it says in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. We draw near to God with boldness and confidence to the throne of grace to receive mercy and to find grace to help in our time of need. Well, as you know, Psalm 122 tells us to pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. May peace be within your walls and prosperity within your palaces. And as you also know, Israel has been at war with Hamas since October 7th of 2023. And we want to get an update on what is going on in Israel. Lots of things going on in the Middle East with the collapse of the Assad regime in Syria. And so I've invited my good friend, Dr. Gary Frazier. Gary Frazier is he's the go-to man for all things related to Israel, for me anyway. He is the president and founder of Discovery Missions International, pastor, author, speaker, and Bible prophecy expert. Gary, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Jeff. Always a joy to be with you.
So lots, Gary, lots happening. And, you know, when a war goes on for a long period of time, people maybe get a little war fatigue. But give us an update on what's been happening in the last couple of months in Israel.
Well, Jeff, first of all, I want to say to all of our listeners that one of the things that we constantly have to focus on is not what is actually taking place in a single given day or a week or even a month or even a series of months, but rather to be reminded that the scripture is clear about God's end time program. Now, I realize there are a lot of people who have heard a lot of confusing things about biblical prophecy, and as a result of that, there have been many people who have been simply turned off to that subject, and they simply have that very que sera sera attitude, like, you know, I'm not on the planning committee, I'm just on the welcoming committee, right. Nobody really knows what's going to happen, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is really just an excuse for a lack of biblical knowledge and understanding. But right. Having said that, we have to be just reminded and keep our focus on the main thing. Here's what we know. We know that as we approach the return of Christ for his church to take us to the Father's house, this is not the second coming, it's the coming of Jesus for the church. It's the promise that Jesus made in John 14. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, we know that as we get closer to the time, Jesus tells us in Matthew 24 that these are like the birth pains, and things get with greater frequency and greater intensity, Jesus is talking about the things that will take place in the last days, ethnic strife, wars, famine, pestilence, and so forth. All of these things are increasing in frequency and intensity. We are living in the time, as we see these things happen, the wise believer understands just how close we are to the soon coming of Jesus. Now, with that in mind, then here's what we ought to be seeing. We ought to be seeing, number one, the whole world basically turning against Israel, which they have. Number two, we ought to be seeing how the Ezekiel war of chapters 38 and 39, which is a Russian-led Islamic invasion of Israel, we should see the alignment of these nations coming together as named in the passage of Scripture 2,500 years ago, which we have, and so we're poised there. We should also see the decline of the last great republic slash democracy on the face of the earth, America, that is more freedom for more people for a longer period of time than any other nation, which we are doing. We're seeing that. Mm-hmm. Now, granted, we praise the Lord for the election outcome, and it may very well be that God is going to give us another opportunity to try to get it right as a nation. But right. The truth of the matter is that no matter who's in the White House, God is ultimately on the throne. And we know that America is in a moral decline, mm-hmm. Unlike anything we've ever seen before. And exactly what Isaiah prophesied is true. Woe unto those who call good evil and evil good. And that's where we are today. So having right. said all that, then what do we see happening today? Well, there are several things that we can need to talk about. The first is, of course, obviously, the government of Hafez al-Assad, and then, of course, his son Bashar al-Assad, who became president. That those people have been ruling that part of the world for over 50 years now in Syria. And so now we've seen the collapse of that government. And so what's happening is there is a complete destabilization of the Middle East. And so now with this particular leader, which is known as HTS, because I don't know of anybody except a Muslim who could pronounce his name, who was formerly an ISIS leader, with head of a terrorist group that's now, quote-unquote, in charge in Syria, we now can see that Syria is going to continue to be an issue. And so what happens? Well, Israel has gone in. And the first thing that Israel did was they launched airstrikes, and virtually they have decimated the Syrian Air Force. They have decimated their missile units and their ability to launch attacks from a missile standpoint or from a military standpoint from Syria into Israel. And now, Jeff, you and I have said many times, they're overlooking into Syria, just 35 miles from Damascus, but looking down at the little town called Qunetra. And this was the closest Syrian town, if you please, to Israel in the Upper Golan Heights. Mm-hmm. And, of course, this is also the area just adjacent to that is where the UN has their headquarters located in Syria. So the Israeli military, the IDF, now inhabits Qunetra. They've put a buffer zone between Israel and Syria. And Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel, has made it perfectly clear they have no intention of occupying Syria, but they also don't have any intention of allowing Syrians, the terrorist threat from Syria, coming past that point. So they've kind of drawn a red line in the sand in this buffer zone to keep anything from happening from the north. And so while we're looking at that situation develop, we have to also remember that with the Israelis taking out Nasrallah, the leader of Hezbollah in Lebanon, we now have a situation there which is, of course, an inherited leadership passes on down to the next terrorist in line. And Israel, of course, is also moving further and deeper into Lebanon than they have in many, many, many years, because they can no longer stand by and allow them to continue to fire rockets into northern Israel. We have thousands of Israelis displaced in the northern part of Israel simply because of the barrage of rockets coming in from Lebanon. Mm-hmm. Now, having said all that, then we have the third situation that we have to be aware of and keep an eye on. And that is the continuing fight with the Israelis and Hamas in Gaza.
Right.
And so now we're hearing some talk in just the last few days. The leadership of Hamas is saying, well, we're going to be okay with Israeli presence in Hamas for a limited period of time. And as a result of that, they're continuing now to talk about the release of some of the hostages, including some Americans. The initial phase would be 30. Now, we've heard this before. We don't know that it'll come about. But let me, if I may, Jeff, just make this point clear, and then we'll discuss this in further detail. Here's the situation. Hamas, Hezbollah, the Syrians, the Iranians, the Houthis, all of these terrorist organizations know one thing for sure. They know that their window of opportunity to destroy Israel, which is their stated goal, is closing fast, and on January 20th of 2025, it's going to slam shut on them.
Right.
So my point in all this is this. We're in a very precarious time right now because we have today from December 13th, which, by the way, happens to be my birthday today.
Happy birthday, Gary.
And if I'd have known I was going to live this long, I'd taken better care of myself. Anyway, having said that, we now have this time between today and January 20th, and we're watching carefully because this may be Iran's final opportunity, or at least they may see it or perceive it as such, to actually launch, in conjunction with Russia, an attack against Israel. Now, I pray that that doesn't happen, But I know what the Bible says. It is going to happen at some point in time.
Right.
And the stage has never been set like it is today. So we who are Bible-believing Christians and who study the Word of God, we take comfort in the fact that no matter what happens, we know that Jesus Christ is reigning on the throne from above, and his perfect plan will be completed, and all we have to do is just make sure we're ready to meet him. Amen?
Amen. Hey, Gary, let me ask you this. What is Russia's, what is their motivation for teaming with Iran?
Well, I think several things. Number one, I will tell you, and you and I have talked about this before, I've written about this extensively in some of my books, you know, Russia has a world domination mindset. By the way, they're not the only ones. China thinks they're going to end up ruling the world also. Mm-hmm. And the Iranians, their situation is such that Iran and Russia have a shared goal, and that is they both want to see the destruction of Israel. Now, why would Russia want to see the destruction of the Jews? I'm not sure any Russian leader or any person in Russia could explain that to you. But the question is, why has the world long sought to destroy Israel, period, and the Jewish people? Why is it that people scream from the river to the sea? They have no idea what they're talking about. But why is there such an inbred hatred? And I must remind people of this. This is demonic warfare. This is a spiritual battle. Mm-hmm. And as I've said many times, there's never a political solution to a religious war or a spiritual war. And that's where we are. And so I don't think Vladimir Putin or the Ayatollahs in Iran even understand why they want. But let's talk about the financial windfall that may take place in the event, or would take place in the event, that Israel could be defeated. And by the way, as we're talking, Russia and Iran are just about to finalize the establishment of an international union against U.S. sanctions. See, they know that when Trump hits Washington, there's going to be extreme sanctions. By the way, Trump had the Iranians in a chokehold during the 4 years of 2016 up until the election was lost and Biden administration took over, which is actually just the Obama administration, right. third administration. So he had them in a chokehold. They were broke. Nobody was buying the oil. They couldn't move the oil to get the cash, and they were in a real mess. They know that this is going to happen again. So this is one of the reasons why Russia and Iran both are strengthening their positions in this new accord they're going into. But having said all that, what would Russia gain from this? Well, first of all, the treasure trove of the minerals of the Dead Sea, I'm not sure anybody can put a dollar figure on it, number one. Number two, Israel has, as you know, discovered a horrendous natural gas reserves. Israel has oil just off their coast and so forth. There are so, and not only that,
well,
think about the
Russia would be all production. Russia is all for the monetary gain. Iran's for the spiritual motivation.
That is correct. That is correct. This is what makes it so dangerous, because the religious element of this is something that drives the Iranians to the point where they are willing to sacrifice their civilian population to gain their own religious quote-unquote goals. Remember, most Iranian people are not, they do not subscribe to the idea of the Twelvers, which this group is driven by. This is the 12th descendant from Muhammad who disappeared in 941 AD. Obviously, he was killed. But these crazy people believe that he's been living all these many years in a well 40 miles outside Tehran. Shows you how bright they are. Anyway, having said that, they believe that Allah has given them a command to bring about a worldwide catastrophe that will elevate Islam to the religious domination of the whole world. Because remember, the crescent moon was intended to be the full moon when Islam would dominate the world. That was Muhammad's desire, of course, not only as a spiritual leader, but then a political leader, and ultimately, in the end of his life, a military leader. Yep. But having said all that, drives these people.
Gary, let me break in because we're up
sure.
against the clock here. But you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Our program is titled Update on Israel with Dr. Gary Frazier, who is an expert on things related to Bible prophecy and what's going on in Israel and what does the Bible say about Israel in the latter days. Don't go away.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about Israel. Update on Israel with my friend Dr. Gary Frazier. And Gary Frazier is a Bible prophecy expert, pastor, author, and speaker, and the founder and president of Discovery Missions International. Gary, let me ask you this, as we've been talking about Israel and Syria. Is that, I'm assuming it's a good thing that the Assad regime is toppled, but that begs the question, well, who's running Syria and who will run Syria?
Well, it does, and we're faced with the same situation, Jeff, that we had with Iraq when we took Gaddafi out. I mean, when we took the leader of Iraq out, because of the fact that what happens is the enemy we know sometimes is better than the enemy we don't know. Yes. And this particular leader that was formerly his strain, if you please, of terrorism was, of course, driven by ISIS ideology. Now it appears that, of course, now what we have is we have the Kurdish element. We have several different things taking place in Syria. But the bottom line is that instability has been created. Somebody is going to be in control ultimately of the military, of whatever weapon sources they may still have. We do know the number of the tunnels that have been destroyed both in Lebanon, also in Syria, where materials have been brought in from Iran, obviously, who's supplying all this with the aid of Chinese and Russian military money and so forth. So it remains to be seen. As you well know, there were 16 Russian military bases in Syria. We also know that they had the S-400 missile defense system in Syria that can only be operated by Russian operatives. So we don't yet know exactly what all is happening. It's unfolding on a day-by-day, almost a minute-by-minute situation up there. So we just have to, my thought for the day is, and by the way, I'm always embarrassed, Jeff, when you or anyone introduces me as an expert. I'm not an expert. I'm just a sinner saved by grace who studies the Word of God. And yes, exactly. So that's better. And anyway, having said all that, we're just watching this situation to see how this ends up shaking out. But again, remember, January 20th is a deadline. And this is what they're operating against.
Okay, so Gary, obviously we had prayed for the election, and it was a pretty clear if we choose Kamala Harris and Tim Walz, we're going off a cliff. And we have an opportunity with Donald Trump to hopefully right the ship as a nation. And as you said, I've said this, it's almost like we're Nineveh and God has answered our prayer, given us an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Doesn't mean that it's going to last forever, but it is an opportunity to restore law and order. That kind of message in the Middle East, America chooses Donald Trump. What does that do to those leaders, those Islamic leaders, and to Russia and China? What goes on in their minds when they know Donald Trump is coming back to the White House?
Well, first of all, the leaders of the world fear, if you please, and / respect Donald Trump. Donald Trump is a man who is perfectly capable to negotiate with world leaders from a position of strength. Unlike this weak last 4 years administration we had, which was totally, utterly pathetic, Donald Trump is a person who doesn't put all his cards on the table first. What he simply does is he's a master negotiator, and it's just as simple as that. The leadership, they've worked with him before. They know how he is, and they know that he's a man who says, when this is a, do not cross this line, unlike what Biden would say, he means what he says, and they know that. And so there's a new sheriff in town, and it's going to be interesting, because just like the president of Mexico, who first took a very hard stance with Trump when he spoke with her the very first time, simply acquiesced and agreed to, and here's why. Trump knows that tariffs work. They've worked in the past. They'll work again. And so at the end of the day, he knows that it's about the economy and the economics of nations, because they've got to survive. Mm-hmm. And so he's just a master at that. Now, do I expect the world to change? No. We are plunging into total perversion the world over. America continues to be the largest exporter of perversion in the world. We know that sexual slavery exists right here in our own nation. We know that thousands of children have been sold into the sexual slave market as a result of these open borders and this invasion that we have experienced under the Biden people. But Trump will take a stand immediately, and they will stop some of this, but the flow has been so great, so massive. The numbers are staggering when you look at what's happened in the last 4 years from this, as I said, from this invasion that has taken place. But, you know, I think some people have a lot higher expectations than I do. I expect that Donald Trump is going to do everything that he possibly can. But again, I want to remind our people, the deep state exists. Mm-hmm. The swamp is much deeper and much broader than he dreamed that it was when he became president in 2017.
Yes.
And the bottom line, it still exists. And do not think that for one moment that the left and those who are quote-unquote rhinos within the Republican Party are going to give an inch without a fight. Because remember, power is never given up. It must be taken away. And these people are power hungry, always have been. That's what this is all about. And so for them, it's not about what's good for America, what's good for the American people. It's about what's good for themselves and for their power structure. And they have a mindset, and their mindset, Jeff, as you know, is a one world government. It's the WEF. It's the, you know, the World Economic Forum. Their goal, and by the way, we understand that because we do understand what's coming again. We go back to the Word of God, and we know that there is going to be a one-world government. You can't have a one-world government without a democracy, which means the collapse of with the world power as a democracy, which means the collapse of America, which we've talked about on several occasions before. And we've been on fast-tracking on that path for some time now. Now, right now, we've got this kind of a stopgap here with the Trump administration, but look, it doesn't change. This is just a temporary setback for the enemy, if you please. And I'm not talking about individuals. I'm talking about the greater mindset of a one-world government controlled by a single individual known as the man of sin, the son of perdition, the Antichrist, etc., that the Bible speaks firmly about. And so this is kind of where we are. And my message to everyone listening today is that, you know, first of all, do not be anxious for anything, but in everything through prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, who gives the peace that passes all understanding. I'm at peace with what's happening in the world today because I know that my Lord Jesus is on the throne, and I know that nothing's going to come to us that is not filtered through his hands. And yet, as the men of the tribe of Issachar were men who were wise and understood the times in which they lived, they knew what Israel ought to do. We students of Scripture have the big picture of what God is up to. And our job now is to continue our calling. And what is our calling? And that is to go into all the world and make disciples. Our calling is to get the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world, because we are living in the time of the soon return of Jesus. And that window of grace and opportunity is going to be closing until the tribulation begins. And then the greatest revival the world has ever seen is going to take place, according to the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verses 9 through 11, when a multitude out of every nation and kindred and tongue will come to saving faith in Jesus Christ in the early days of the beginning of the tribulation period, in which 50%, Jeff, all of the world, 50% of half of the world's population, think about it. There's 8 billion people we share this globe with. 4 billion of them, according to Scripture, will perish during this time of the most horrific time the world's ever seen. Christians today need to be motivated to a greater degree than ever before to be people of prayer and to be bold in our witness. You know, a couple of weeks ago, I was preaching in North Carolina. And Jeff, you know me, I'm not real bashful kind of guy. Mm-hmm. I've got a T-shirt on the airplane that says, "Jesus is my Savior, Trump is my President." And then I had my Trump hat on. So people would come by me in the airplane because I like to get strategically positioned in row 1 on the aisle so that anybody comes on sees it.
Yes.
And people would say, oh, they'd whisper and say, "Well, I like your shirt. I like your hat." And I would say to them, "You don't have to whisper. We still have freedom of speech in America. You can speak up. And by the way, if somebody wants to wear a Harris Biden cap, I'd fight for their right to do that. We still have those freedoms." But the point I'm trying to make is simply this. Our confidence and our trust cannot be misplaced in American nationalism and looking to Donald Trump He is simply a man, a sinner saved by grace as we are. I do believe Donald Trump is a believing Christian. Wherever he is on his growth cycle, I do not know. But anyway, having said all that, we need to be about the Father's business right now because the time is short. He is coming, and the world is dying and on the fast track to an eternity separated from him forever in a place called hell. And so I just would like to remind our listeners, don't get too sidetracked on the events. Focus on what we've been commanded to do and be obedient to that end.
Okay, Gary, as far as our friend Mike Huckabee being appointed as ambassador to Israel, what is the what are the changes or the benefits that he can bring? Obviously, he loves the Jewish people, and the Jewish people love him. Yeah. I mean, Mike's been to Israel maybe more than you have.
Let me back up. David Friedman, the former ambassador under Trump, who was appointed by President Trump to be our ambassador, is a great friend of mine and an incredible guy. And frankly, I thought that he would be asked to serve in that position again because he is lives in Jerusalem, speaks Hebrew fluently, I mean, obviously, and so forth. But when he aligned himself with Mike Pompeo, and the President Trump has an issue with that, that kind of fell back, and Trump made a great pick in Mike Huckabee. Governor Huckabee is a phenomenal man of God, loves the Lord, loves the Jewish people. He's a dear friend of ours. We love him. And I'm thrilled to death with that pick. In fact, I talked to Mike a couple of days ago. He's a phenomenal, by text, by the way, not verbally. Mm-hmm. And we communicated, and I still communicate with his daughter, Sarah, governor of Arkansas, on a regular basis, but doing a great job there as well. But having said that, Mike's going to be a phenomenal person. And the thing I love about Mike, and the same thing I love about David Friedman, you know, this crazy idea of a two-state solution is totally, completely bizarre. It will never happen. I've said that forever. Got into a discussion with an undersecretary of the Army in Washington, and he told me, he said, well, the Jewish people need to wake up and just understand the reality that there's going to be a two-state solution. And I said, sir, I'm going to tell you, no disrespect meant to you, but you don't know what you're talking about. There will never be a Palestinian state between the Mediterranean Sea and the Jordan River because that land belongs to the nation of Israel. It's a sovereign state. And they're going to, and I suspect that during this time of Trump, they'll be annexing the West Bank. Totally will put an end to this discussion and confusion concerning the West Bank and the occupied territories. It is Israel. Mm-hmm. And Huckabee is going to make sure that that takes place. And so I look forward to the leadership that he'll bring to this whole situation. And we get rid of this group that has 4 years has just tried to reverse everything that Donald Trump did. And by the way, Paraguay just announced today their embassy is opening in Jerusalem. You're going to see some things happening rapidly over in Israel as we have this new administration coming in.
Gary, when do you think that trips can start back into Israel?
Well, my partner in Israel was in our area here in Dallas. We had dinner night before last together. And, you know, it's he's the head of TBN in the Middle East, and Rabbi Samuel Smadja, great brother in the Lord and so forth. But anyway, Samuel and I were just talking about the fact that, you know, everything is just evolving. You know, we just have to watch it and see. Now, let me just say from our standpoint, I don't know if our listeners are aware of this or not, but we also facilitate Christian group travel to the Middle East. We've been doing this since 1985. We've taken tens of thousands of people, over 2,200 senior pastors, on educational trips to help better understand Israel's right to exist in the land and also to better understand biblical prophecy and so forth and Israel's role in that. And so we anticipate and have pastors right now who are booking troops into 20 groups rather into 25 and 26. And we're very, you know, look, one of two things is going to happen. Either Jesus is going to come, we're going to be gone, or this situation will be resolved and things will go back somewhat to what they were previous to. Excuse me for a second. You'll have to forgive me. I've had a bad head cold for about a week. Anyway, that all said, I'm anticipating and praying, as you are, that my preference would be that Jesus would come and take us home. I'm ready to go. But on the other hand, if not, we're going to continue to serve and continue to educate and equip as many believers as we can and just keep trying to be faithful to to serve the Lord.
Amen. Well, we've been talking to Dr. Gary Frazier, Bible prophecy student. He was the expert, but since we've been talking, now he's the Bible prophecy student. And now I appreciate Gary so much. He has written extensively on this subject, this fascinating subject. And Gary, just as you and I have lamented together, so many preachers don't touch the book of the Revelation. They don't touch end times. And now is the time for people to know this is what's coming.
Well, it really is. And, you know, ignorance is not bliss. And God didn't give us 25% of the Bible that was prophetic at the time that it was written to just simply be ignored. I mean, it's in the Word of God for a reason. And while we don't know every minute detail, God doesn't, you know, fill in every single blank, and nor did he. You know, I wish the Lord had just put all this in one section. He didn't. It's throughout the 66 books of the Scriptures. And so as we study the Word of God to show ourselves approved to God, a workman needed not be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth, we understand God has a plan. And our goal is to understand as much of that as we can, as the Holy Spirit of God illuminates our minds and our hearts to understand the Word of God and teaches us. It's not to ignore it. And today, I will tell you, Jeff, my type of preaching, just for the most part, is just not welcome in the great majority of churches anymore.
Well, I appreciate what you do, Gary, and I appreciate your boldness. Thank you for your friendship, and thank you for coming on the program today and to talk to us, give us an update on Israel.
Well, and I love you, Jeff, as well, and I'm grateful for the opportunity and the privilege to be with you.
Thank you, brother. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We'll be back right after the break. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're going to open the phone lines 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840 if you have a question or a comment. And please call in. I'd love to talk to you. Now, I want to switch gears a little bit and talk about the last days of President Joe Biden. January 20th is Inauguration Day, and Donald Trump is going to be sworn in as the 47th president. But Joe Biden is busy and busy doing things that aren't good. So pardoned Hunter Biden, his prerogative to do that. He said he wasn't going to do it, made it very emphatic that he wasn't going to do it. And then he turned around and did it and pardoned him for a length of period of time to cover all his crimes, things that he did or may have done is the way that was worded. I just saw a report from Associated Press that he commuted 1,500 sentences and granted 39 other pardons. It's the biggest single act of clemency in modern U.S. history. That's what the headline said on the Associated Press. And then he was guilty of impeachable offenses as he was profiting off his office. These are things that we knew from the Hunter Biden laptop that the liberal media were saying, oh, it's a Russian hoax and all the things that they said for so long. Well, this is a news report from Fox News talking about investigation that was done. It's shocking to say the least.
This is a Fox News alert. All knew this morning House Republicans finding President Biden and his family received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities since 2014. Lawmakers call it an impeachable conduct. Brooke Singman is in Chicago with this story. Brooke, good morning.
Yeah. Good morning, Ainsley. I obtained a copy of this 292-page report from House Republicans. They're on the House Oversight, Judiciary, and Ways and Means Committees, and they've been leading this impeachment inquiry against President Biden for months. So they said their investigation found that President Biden engaged in impeachable conduct and said he abused his office and, quote, defrauded the United States to enrich his family. Republicans revealed that since 2014, the Biden family and its associates received more than $27 million from foreign individuals and entities. They also found that while Biden was serving as vice president, the Biden family got more than $8 million in loans from Democratic benefactors. And they say those loans have not been repaid. So this report says in part, quote, as vice president, President Biden actively participated in a conspiracy by, among other things, attending dinners with his family's foreign business partners and speaking to them by phone, often when being placed on speakerphone by Hunter.
So that was a breaking news report from Fox News about the Biden corruption, something that we've known about for a while, but now it's coming to the surface to where people can't deny it. Now, this is something new along with the Biden report. He's selling the border wall materials at an auction, trying to sabotage Trump's coming into office and securing the border. This was an interview with Texas Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick.
We mean business in Texas, and Tom Homan means business, and President Trump means business. And I don't know if you heard the latest today, Laura, but Joe Biden is now hauling off the border wall that's been lying down for years, and he wants to auction it off starting at $5 a piece. Message to the White House right now. I will bid on all of that wall, and we will buy it in Texas, and we will give it to Donald Trump. So I'm going to find out first thing in the morning
where we
going to take the bid. I've got $1 billion in my pocket to do it. I write the budget with Senator Joan Huffman. We have the money. We're going to have about $6 billion in our budget for border security.
Dan, don't drive up the cost.
The first bid is only five bucks a piece
of the wall.
But I will go in and buy it all.
Yeah, what does that tell you? Yeah, well, what does this tell you about the Biden people?
They're
essentially green lighting. They want more people coming in. Yeah,
they're despicable what they're doing to the American people, and the American people obviously aren't going to tolerate it. That's why they were thrown out. But the idea, we've been trying to buy this wall from them for 4 years, and they wouldn't sell it to us. And you know what? I'm going to check in with our Department of Public Safety. Maybe we need to start pulling over these trucks to be sure they don't have too much weight on those.
That was Dan Patrick talking about the border wall. Just sickening. I mean, talk about somebody that's working against the best interests of America and Americans. It's just repulsive. But praise the Lord. January 20th can't come soon enough to have a regime change and administration change in Washington and in America. So we're going to the phone lines, 888-589-8840, and we have Mike on the line from West Virginia. Mike, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
These mystery drones, they've got to be shot down immediately. They're as big as a car. That means they can carry a nuclear warhead or a germ warfare sprayer.
It's
and
terrible.
It's not in my neighborhood, but if it did come down, if one was shot down on my house, I'd be glad that it would not reach my cousin's house in another town.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I haven't heard what we're doing to intercept these or stop this. Have you heard anything, Mike?
I've heard nothing new except They keep saying, we don't know where they're coming from, but we know they're not a threat, which is ridiculous.
Right. Yeah. If they're not a threat, what are they doing?
Right. And there are nuclear warheads or germ warfare sprayers that are small enough for those things to carry them.
Right. Well, we have an administration that's not very interested in protecting our country, and seems like, as I just played those clips, they just want to profit off the office and, you know, throw caution to the wind, so to speak. So we need to pray, Mike. There's not a lot we can do other than ask the Lord to intervene, and that, you know, wisdom would prevail over the insanity. And obviously, as Gary Fraser said, this is spiritual warfare. We're under attack from the enemy. He is the prince of the power of the air, and the whole world lies in the lap of the evil one. God gives him enough rope to hang himself, so to speak, but he is giving him freedom to do things under God's sovereignty. But this is just one of those things. And so we pray that the Lord would protect us from, you know, nuclear attack, as you said, or biological warfare from these drones. So I appreciate you calling in and alerting us to that, Mike, and may something happen positively on that front very, very soon. We have Robin on the line from Virginia. Robin, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Oh, thank you so much, and God bless you for what you do. Pastor Jeff, I wanted to thank you for the really clear, concise commentary and conversation this morning on the show. It helps all of us to really better understand things. But to be quick about it, I wanted to just read a poem that I thought was very appropriate for our state, for our country, and the world. Do you mind if I read it? It's very short.
Sure. Go ahead.
Will we heed or will we shirk? Will we lead or simply linger and lurk? Will we care or will we smirk behind a cloak of fear and doubt, or step forward and come about? For our ship of state must sail with pride. Our wounds and sorrow we will not hide. For tragedy may fuel our glide, but love of right must be our ride. We owe it to the world to show that light and not spite can grow and glow with a spiritual conscience that guides and leads our ship and others to fairer seas.
Mm. Very good. Amen, Robin. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I read that to my dad on September 14th, 2001. He's since passed in 2013, and God blessed me with that poem. And he literally told me, you should send that to the president. So I don't even know who was president back then. But I just appreciate the conversation today and the commentary. And your guest speaker, his focus on, you know, Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and that God, you know, he guides the hands of people in power. So thank you so much for today's show.
Thanks, Robin. I appreciate that. God bless you. Well, we have Jay on the line from Texas. Jay, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, Jeff, I've been studying Revelation again, and I'm a little confused about the activity of the Holy Spirit during the tribulation. Scholars that I read say, you know, that we go back to a pre-Pentecost type of activity where it's task-specific, and others say that he is indwelling. How are you taught about this?
Yeah, with the believers during the tribulation period?
Yes.
Yeah.
And the 144,000 and the angel preaching and the two witnesses and all. What is the Holy Spirit doing? Well, nobody does the soteriology of how we were saved
right after
Pentecost. But there's some.
That's a good question. So You know, Old Testament saints, the Holy Spirit was obviously at work. No one can come to a saving knowledge of the Lord without the Holy Spirit opening blind eyes and quickening hearts. And so the Holy Spirit has to be working. Even when the church is taken up at the rapture, the Holy Spirit is not removed from the earth, because then nobody would get saved. So the Holy Spirit has to be involved for salvation to take place. But the question is, and the Bible doesn't really say, the question is, are believers during the tribulation period, those who get saved after the rapture, they miss the rapture, they get saved after the rapture, is the Holy Spirit working in them, on them, or is he living inside of them? Is it more Old Testament saint time, or is it New Testament church? I think it's probably, and I could be wrong about this because I haven't really considered that before, but I think it's probably more along the lines of the Old Testament time. The Holy Spirit is working. The Holy Spirit is coming upon people. I don't know if the Holy Spirit is indwelling people. That's a mystery for the church, that the Holy Spirit would be in us, and the church is now raptured and in heaven. So I guess you could probably make a case either way. The Bible doesn't really say, and so that's a great question though. Where do you fall on that, Jay?
Well, I didn't know. I just assumed that it'd be indwelling just like it was with us. But then the more I read about it, the more I saw people that didn't think so. I know that he's omnipresent. He's God. I mean, he's going to be here. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody was saying he's going to be removed, you know, when the church is removed. Well, he's omnipresent. He's obviously going to be here, and he's obviously going to be active. I just didn't know that. The question was whether we thought he was indwelling, or whether he thought it was, you know, like it was Old Testament, task-specific type use of activity. But I didn't know. I've read arguments both ways. I get convinced one way, and then I read something else and get convinced another way. So
right.
Yeah, what you thought?
Yeah, very good question. I appreciate you calling in with that. We have Ron on the line from Tennessee. Ron, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hi. You know, the government auction sites have been listing these building materials down at the border for a couple years. I don't know if there's anything that's going to be left yet, like things like skip loaders, backhoes, dozers, all the heavy yellow equipment. I think that's going to be gone. I think we're going to have a rude awakening when Trump gets into office and tries to locate an assets listing and a report on what was sold, what was left. And Biden is just soaking his pockets on the American taxpayer. I don't know what's going to happen. I mean, this administration is just the most corrupt, the worst, unlawful, manufactured consent of theft of the American purse and the American treasury, and its currency is just going down, down, down. I don't know what can be done about the border, but I do know that if we can send billions of dollars overseas and send all of our national defense equipment overseas, we can certainly turn it in 180 and resolve it. So when the Democrats want to cry about the budget and they want to henpeck the incoming president and his administration and want to, you know, foobar everything, well, they can go pound sand, go boil the ocean.
Thank you, Ron. That's a good word. I did see this where shocking report shows Biden's education department shelled out $1 billion on DEI since 2021. And then it says that Biden leaving office with lowest approval in 16 years. It's just horrific what has happened. So we don't put our trust in government. We don't put our trust in any human leader. We put our trust in the Lord. But we do work. We trust the Lord as it depends on him, and it does. But we work as if it depended on us. And that's how the Lord would have us do, occupy until he comes. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Go out this weekend, shine for Christ, share what great things the Lord has done for you, and know that God will use you as his witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.